Well, I've been a priest for 365 days, for a year. And in this year, one of the things that has brought great joy to my heart is welcoming people home. Let me tell you what I mean. I guess around a year ago, I don't even really remember when, a friend of mine called me and he said, Bryce, my dad just went to confession for the first time in 20 years. And when my dad went into confession and he said, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 20 years since my last confession. The priest said, welcome home. And my friend, he told me, he said, that's all my dad could talk about when he got back. He was so moved that he was welcomed back into communion with God. Maybe some of you in here know how hard it is to walk into the confessional and to say, it's been 5 years, 15 years, 30 years. Whatever it is for you, for my friend's dad, there was something special about going into the confessional and about hearing a welcome home. Yesterday, I was at the ordination, and my phone started going off. It was on silent, don't worry. But it was going off, and it rang three times, and I was really, because it was vibrating, I was really wondering what it is, but I was in the middle of Mass. I just offered that up to the Lord. But when I got out of Mass, I checked my phone really quickly in case it was an emergency, and it turns out that it was. Miss Lois is in the hospital, and Miss Lois is dying. And her daughter-in-law says, Father, can you come to the hospital? We tried to call the chaplain, but we couldn't get in touch with him. Well, I know, because he was sitting right in front of me. But we called for you, and can you come? So I drove from Houma straight to Thibodaux Regional, and when I got there, I found Miss Lois there in the bed, and the whole family gathered around, and we prayed, I anointed her, I gave her absolution, and, well, she couldn't receive Holy Communion, but then everybody knew that she was ready to go home. So we called upon the saints, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. St. Joseph, pray for us. St. Michael, pray for us. And we prayed this whole litany of the saints to bring her, to welcome her, to help her to make the journey home. And this past year, one of the greatest joys of my heart has been welcoming people home. When I witness marriages, we pray the nuptial blessing from the altar with the Blessed Sacrament right here. I pray the special blessing over the husband and the wife, and we pray that they might build together a home where children are raised up to be saints in the kingdom of God. Yesterday, three little babies were baptized right here at this font in this church. They became two sons and a daughter of God, who now have, like we heard in the second reading from the Hebrews, an inheritance, who are sons and a daughter of God, who are now welcomed into the home of God's church. One of the greatest joys of being a priest is bringing people home, is bringing people into communion. And that's what God is doing in the book of Exodus, the first reading. There's some weird stuff in the first reading. There's the blood that goes on the altar and then that goes on the people. Can you imagine when we do the holy water thing, if we did it with blood? That's what Moses was doing. Through the blood on the altar and through the blood on the people, what was going on? What was God trying to do with his people in the book of Exodus with the sacrifice and the blood and the meal? Well, let me tell you the story. In the beginning, God created the light and the darkness and the heavens and the earth and the moon and the stars and the seas and the plants and the ocean and the creepy things and the crawly things and the flying things and the beasts of the field. And he created man and woman in his image and after his likeness. And Genesis chapter 5 indicates to us that God desired for man and woman to be his children, to be part of his family. But the first man and the first woman chose otherwise. They took from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They listened to the whispering lies of the serpent. And they said, no. God, you have made us to be your children. God, you have given us a home. Eden, the garden, paradise. But no, we're going to go away. We're going to choose something else. Maybe God could have forgotten about us. Maybe God could have just destroyed us. But God said, no, I made you to be my family, so I will continue to reach out. And that's what God did. Over and over again, he reached out to his people. And he found Noah. And he made a covenant with Noah. He sent the flood, and there was the ark, and all this. And he said, Noah, I'm going to make a covenant with you. I want you and your family to be my family. And so Noah, he makes a covenant. Everything's going well. And then he gets drunk and ends up naked. All kinds of bad things happen when you get drunk. Don't do that. And it's a bad situation. Noah chooses, not in as extreme a way as Adam and Eve, but Noah chooses not God. But God, he still doesn't give up. He says, I want you, humanity, I want you to be my sons and my daughters. And so God finds a man named Abraham. And he says, Abraham, look, I am going to make through you the whole world to be part of my family. I am going to give you a home, the promised land. I am going to make of you a family. Your descendants will number as many as the stars of heaven or the sands on the shore of the sea. And through you, every nation on earth will be blessed. God chooses Abraham and through Abraham desires to bring us home again into his family. And Abraham is faithful. Abraham is righteous. Abraham has faith. But Abraham, being a fallen human being like you and me, he makes mistakes too. And he sins like you and like me. And he doubts God. And because of Abraham's sin, the Jewish rabbis tell us, his grandson and his descendants end up in Egypt as slaves. And Israel, who God desired to be his firstborn son, becomes a slave in Egypt. Do you hear the dynamic? From Adam and Eve to Noah and Abraham and his sons, and God created us to be sons, daughters. Yet we choose to be slaves. But every time we choose to be slaves, God continues to reach out to us. Every time we choose not God, God says, come back. Come home. You're still my son. You're still my daughter. Come back to me. And so, God finds Moses out in the middle of the desert, tending his flock, and there's a whole burning bush thing. And God says, Moses, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they might worship me in the desert. I am going to free them from slavery and show you and show the whole world that you are called not to be slaves, but to be sons. And so Moses goes to Pharaoh, let my people go. And there's the strife and there's the plagues and all this stuff. And then Moses takes the Israelites by the power of God through the Red Sea and finds himself at Mount Sinai. And now we're here at the first reading today. And Moses tells the young men who are the firstborn sons, who are the priests, he says, slaughter the oxen, make the sacrifice, and offer it on the altar. And then he takes the blood, which is a sign of life. He throws half of it on the altar and sprinkles the other half on the people. That you and I might share in the life of God. He makes a covenant with his people. He restores his people to communion, to family. He brings them home. And if we keep reading in the book of Exodus, we see that there are three parts to the making of this covenant. There's the sacrifice, there's the blood, and there's the meal. But there's a problem again. The people of Israel, free to be sons and daughters of God, worship the golden calf. They choose to be slaves. And then they repent, and God forgives them. And then they choose to be slaves. And then they repent, and then they sin. And they repent, and then they sin. And God says, you are my son. Here's what I'm going to do. I am going to write my law, not on tablets of stone, not with the blood of bulls and goats, which Hebrews tells us can't do anything by themselves. I'm going to write my law on your hearts, and I am going to bring you in communion with me by my own power. And so we go from Mount Sinai to Mount Zion, from Mount Sinai to Golgotha, where there is a sacrifice, not of bulls and goats, but of a spotless, unblemished lamb, of the Son of God himself, who pours out blood and water from his side, that we might share in communion, that we might be part of his family. And like the covenant of old, there's a sacrifice, there's blood. And on the same day, according to the Jewish calendar, there's a meal. Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the blood of the covenant, the new an eternal covenant where you and I become God's family. Where you and I, every Sunday or perhaps even every day, remember who we are and renew our communion with God. The real blood. The bread that we break, is it not a communion in the body of Christ, says St. Paul? No longer bread, but God. It looks like bread, but its substance has been changed into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Is not the chalice from which we drink a communion in the blood of Christ? And so we come home to remember that we are God's family. When the gifts are brought up at Mass, we bring everything to him. We put all of our sorrows together with the wine and all of our sins together with the bread and say, God, please transform all of my mess for your good. And then we go out. Go. The Mass is over. Well, but it's not over, is it? Go and live the Mass. Go and tell all those people in your life who are searching for something, who are searching for paradise again, who are searching for a promised land, who are searching for home. Go and tell them, I found the secret. I found the joy. I found where I belong. I found communion. I found my home.